Here we go. This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics with the win last night in Utah. We'll start with this and get your Red Sox thoughts as they are 2 hours from opening day. So the first couple hours of the program, we'll do this. Get you some Patriots stuff as well, but let's start with that Celtics game last night. Maz, what does it mean?
Well, look, I always take a positive out of that sort of game. You're on the road. You're in Utah. You know, the Jazz have overall been playing pretty well. I mean, that's a playoff team right now, right? That's a playoff team. Yep. You go in there and think of all the guys that were missing. Holy mackerel. You know, no Horford, no Kyrie, no Morris. They're missing the whole starting lineup, basically, with the exception of, you know, Brown and Tatum. And you go in there and you pull one out and, you know, Brown hits the big shot at the end.
What does it mean?
To me, it fortifies that they should win the first round without Kyrie. I mean, they're capable of it. And then after that...
And is it good that these role pieces are, you know, feeling it themselves and accomplishing more, and so when they're called on in the real games, is it going
to
matter?
Yeah, well, I think there's a chance of that they start to build some confidence. Because to me, that... You know, and I tie this more to Tatum, and probably just because I'm more focused on him than I am on Brown. But Tatum has been playing really well. And, you know, Brown had a good game last night. And I think there's a chance that this gives those guys a little bit of boost, that the silver lining to all these injuries is that the young guys might be better players come postseason time. And so there is a benefit there. I mean, it can't hurt. Now, again, the postseason game is a different game. We'll see, ultimately. But if there's an open shot now with a game on the line and Jaylen Brown has to take it, don't you think they're a little bit better off than they were 24 hours ago?
Yeah, sort of my point there.
Yeah, yeah, I think there is some of that. Now, you know, to me there's also a bigger discussion about the injuries and who they can beat and who they can't beat without Kyrie, and we can get to that. But I think there's a real positive to be taken that from last night. I know that's wildly...
Well, I know, that's not like you.
Wildly out of character for me. I know, I hate doing it, but nonetheless... You know, that's a pretty ballsy shot. And there wasn't, it's not like he was totally wide open, waiting for the ball, no one within 20 feet of him. I mean, he's on the move, he catches, turns, shoots. Maybe it's better that way, so you don't have a lot of time to think about it. But that thing was pretty pure. That shot was clean.
How many wins like this have they now had this year?
Oh my God, it feels like a million.
It's insane. So, I mean, the biggest takeaway for me is games like this, and even this road trip as a whole, or how they've been playing without, you know, they're superstars, is these young guys, they're getting tougher and more resilient by the game. And you can trust a guy like Jaylen Brown with the game on the line, at least in this first round. I'm with Maz. Like, I think games like last night show you they'll be okay in the first round without Kyrie Irving and without Marcus Smart.
I mean, it's a good little run they're on. And look, the last couple of games they've played have been garbage teams, right?
Utah's not a garbage team.
No, not last night. I meant before last night. Like, you know, Phoenix, Sacramento, those teams suck. How do you get excited about a game like that? But,
but still, a four-game road trip where you're 3,000 miles away, I know they're bad teams, but it's easy. And, you know, it's one of 82. Those are typically some of those games where they're going to pack it in and, what the hell, we'll mail it in for the night.
See, but this one felt different to me. This one felt different than the other two. Phoenix sucks. Phoenix is the worst home team in the league. They don't even have 10 home wins, I think it is. They blow. And Sacramento, you got their pick next year. Like, you're looking at a high lottery pick there, so they blow. Like, I don't get geeked up about those, but, you know, Utah's decent. That's a good win.
Yeah, I was just trying to look up that number that Jimmy put in our email chain this morning. I'm just trying to log into my computer. That just backs up those, that close and late thing. It's their 14th double-digit comeback this season. Tied for second most in the NBA, Celtics have now made 5 go-ahead field goals in the final 5 seconds of a game this season. 5. In the final 5 seconds, not last minute, final 5 seconds, the most of any NBA team. So, you know, this is another thing like Brad Stevens. That's where Brad Stevens helps win you a game, which I'll fully grant you. Proven to be an amazing regular season coach. I don't think there's any question about it.
Blah. How do you like my coach now, Felger? Blah.
You give him coach of the year. It's a nice regular season award. I think he makes a difference in the regular season.
He does in the regular season.
He does. And look, if that gives you a higher seeding than someone else, that gives you a home game in Game 7 that gets you a round farther in the playoffs, I'll give him that as well. Absolutely. No question about it. But to me, I need to see him coach their way to a series that they shouldn't win before I do the whole Brad Stevens thing. I mean, in the regular season, clearly, it works. You know, he's more engaged. His team is more engaged. They're smarter on a nightly basis, more consistently than everybody else. And so, you know, good for him. God bless. I don't know. So this is why I keep asking, like, what does it mean? What does it mean? Jaylen Brown performing is important.
Absolutely it is.
Okay? So we'll see. Here's the other Celtics thought I have. And that is, what's really interesting to me is the standings and the 2 seed and the 3 seed. Or, I'm sorry, what I really mean is the 3 seed and the 4 seed. You're the 2. Pretty much locked in. Cleveland is in the 3 spot, but they're only a half game ahead of Philly. Half game ahead. And this is important because 2 plays 3 in the second round. They don't reseed in the NBA. You're locked into playing the 3rd seed in the second round. That's right when Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart are supposed to come back. If it ends today, it's Cleveland in the second round. Wouldn't you so much rather that be Philadelphia in the second round? Not only because you might think they're more beatable, which is debatable, but if Cleveland's sitting there in the second round and Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart are on the fence about coming back, don't you think Kyrie Irving is pushing it? And it gets there's that chance that it gets all discombobulated because Kyrie's pushing. He's got to face LeBron. Got to face LeBron. That's the whole thing. He's got to get it up on LeBron. And now LeBron's sitting there in the second round, and Kyrie's right on the fence to return. Jimmy Stewart, do me a favor. Open the phones for me, if you would please. 617-779-0985. Folks, you can join us at any time. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I still think the 1 seed is well within grasp for the Celtics right now.
3 games.
Yeah, but they still have to play the Raptors twice, and they hold the tiebreaker. So if they beat them in those 2 games, I think it's the Celtics 3-1 at the advantage right now.
Okay, are you going to beat them in those 2 games without Kyrie and without Marcus Smart?
Yeah, I mean, it's well within reason. This next one's coming up on Saturday night. It's at home. Yeah, it could happen.
Okay. So you're the.
So I still think that they should be playing. They should be pushing for the 1 seed.
No, okay, so you're the 1 and Cleveland's the 4. Philly catches them. They're only a half game behind. Should you be managing it to avoid Cleveland in the second round? That's the question.
Yes.
If you need to win, win. If you need to lose, lose. Whatever it takes to get out of the bracket on Cleveland's side.
No, because you're going to probably have to face them eventually anyway. No, so you can get them earlier round.
See,
you're pushing Kyrie to get in that second round. I'm not going to be afraid and be Big Jim Worry with the Cleveland Cavaliers in the
second
round.
You see
what
I'm saying, though?
I do, yeah. It's going to potentially push Kyrie a little bit earlier if it's Cleveland in the second round.
So I'll tell you what it is for me, okay? And I look at it. See, I think 1's out. I don't think you're getting...
Yeah, I think that's too much.
Yeah, you're going to have to sweep. One of the games is there. You're shorthand, you know, I don't think the Celtics are going to push for that if they're in that area. They're going to stay where they are, which is in the 2. But to me, the bigger advantage is that Cleveland and Toronto would play. You eliminate one of those two. Get one of those two out of your path and make the path easier for you. Now, look, unlike you, I don't think Philly's a day at the beach. That series, to me, will depend on whether Kyrie plays. Without Kyrie, I think Philly can beat you. So, to me, the Sixers are, what have they won, 8 in a row?
Yep.
Like, and you know how I felt about them at the beginning of the year.
That's your new team.
It is my new team.
It's your new Porzingis.
Oh, I know, and how many people, yeah, Matt, you don't know what you're talking about. The Sixers suck.
Well, yeah,
they suck now?
Well, you just keep you keep leapfrogging teams till one hits. That doesn't take much.
Who did I leapfrog before?
Knicks. The Knicks and Porzingis. The Knicks.
Yeah, but they're not. I never said that they were a threat.
You said you'd rather be the Knicks than you.
Well, that was 2 years ago.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm saying. Now you're on to Philly.
Okay. Well, I'm telling you, I'd still take Porzingis. Philly's for real. That team's going to win 50 games next year. I'm telling you.
Next year.
Yeah. I think the Celtics are still better than Philly. Philly's not really quite there yet. But they took a big leap this year. And Embiid is a matchup nightmare for the Celtics. He is a matchup nightmare for them because they don't have a big guy. First of all, nobody does. That can defend him near the basket, or if it is Baines, who can then go out to the three-point line and defend him. Forget it.
Okay, Celtics. Do you want to avoid Cleveland in the second? Do you make it so you avoid him? Whether that's the 1, so you face the 3, or the 2, so you face the 4? If you follow, I think Murray not really does. But if you follow
me. I do follow, and I get the Kyrie thing. It doesn't matter, because even as Maz just said, oh, that means Cleveland and Toronto would have to play in the second round. Cleveland's winning. Toronto's not beating Cleveland in the playoffs. It's never going to happen. So you're going to have to face them anyway.
6-1-7, but it's better in the third than the second, I think, because Kyrie has a whole another week or two to get ready for that series. If he's coming right back and jumping right in to Cleveland, I don't know.
So you think they beat Philly without Kyrie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. I think that you can manage it differently. I think he doesn't need to play 48 minutes. I think he could come back in game 2 or game 3. I think you could rest him. I think there'll be some easy games where he's sitting.
Gotcha.
That sort of thing.
Gotcha.
I think you're much, much better off with anyone but Cleveland in that second round, and then Kyrie's all ready to go for Cleveland in the conference finals. That's how I think you should engineer it, whether that means winning or losing, whatever it takes. Avoid Cleveland on that side of the bracket. 617-779-0985. Red Sox thoughts. They're going to throw the first pitch here in a couple hours. Just your thoughts on them, Maz.
I mean, to me, look, just quickly, I think a fast start for them is important. The schedule's favorable. They got a new manager. All the vibes in spring training were good. Everything, that you know, Cora was all too eager to tell us that they went 22-9 or 21-9.
Freaking best record in baseball, man.
Yeah, bitches. Take that to the bank. So I look at the whole thing, and I just say, if they were to come out and start slowly or poorly, oh, man. Like, it is set up for them perfectly. It really is. You know, they've managed the whole spring. Like, for the most part, they're healthy. They got a couple of injuries that feel minor at the back end of the rotation. They need to come out and start fast, and that starts today.
Okay, so Celtics, Red Sox to start. We got some Patriots stuff, developing Patriots rumors from that vicious mudslinging rumor monger himself, Greg Bedard. We'll mix those in as well with
the
your calls. 617-779-0985 to you right after this.
This is Felger and Maz
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. I mean, besides the friggin' best record in baseball, I mean, it went well. I think the work we did and when we went on the road, the guys staying back, especially in the infielders, was great. Bruce, Ramon, also Andy, they help a lot. We got better defensively throughout the spring. Records doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We could be 9-21, although people probably go nuts if that was the case.
Let's go right to it. Our buddy Pete in Delaware leads us off. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, great win last night. I don't know how they're doing it, but great win, but you guys are talking about the playoffs, and I think it's a flip of the coin with depending on who the matchup is. My biggest concern, obviously, like everybody, is a depth issue, and you got a rookie in Tatum that he's not going to be able to have off nights in the playoffs. And same with Jaylen Brown. They're going to be dependent on to carry a bigger load, and you guys know the playoffs is a whole different animal. They're going to take them a couple of games to adjust, whatever, but I just worry that youth is going to catch up to them, guys. Just
so you worry first round. You worry about not even getting there.
Well, I'm just worried about, I do think it's a tough. They can win. Should they win? Yeah. I'm just saying I'm concerned that not having the depth, the minutes these guys are logging, and the inconsistency of young guys, I think it could catch up to them.
Yes,
it's
going to. Ultimately, young guys don't win in that league. It's hard, right? I mean, they don't win in the playoffs. So, I mean, ultimately that is going to catch up to you. You should have enough to beat Miami or the Bucks in the first round.
See, I think so, too. And again,
is Rozier a kid or a veteran now?
Veteran.
Okay. And Horford and Morris. And you should have enough here.
And Tatum and Brown.
And Brad, your coach of the year. So what? You're going to lose to Miami?
Monroe.
Come on.
Yeah, look, to me it's enough. Again, I have a list of names in front of me, so I'm reading them in no particular order. But assuming that, you know, Horford's back, Morris is back, those two guys, right? Those are the two obvious ones at the moment. Horford, Morris, Tatum, Baines, Brown, Rozier, Monroe. I'll even give you Larkin, okay? Because Larkin last night helped them. There's no question about it. He played a good game. They made a big run there in the second quarter when Larkin was on the floor and Rozier was on the bench. So in the first round, it's enough. That's eight guys. How many more do you want? What do you want, 10? You're not going to get 10 in the playoffs. Some of these bums don't deserve to see the floor in the playoffs. So you know, to me, that's enough. You can win the first round. Second round's a different animal. You're going to run into a real team there. And so you're going to need Kyrie. You're going to need Marcus Smart or some version of them to be able to get through that round. But they have enough for the first.
We've got Paul in Fort Lauderdale. Paul, what are your thoughts on last night?
Great game. Watch it all the way. I've just got 3 points if I can bring up.
Quick.
The last Bruins game and the last Celtics game, both teams won with 0.1 second left.
The Bruins, okay, good. What's your next point?
With 0.1 second, and the Celtics scored last night with 0.1 second.
Next
and
point.
The famous number 17 for the Bruins, I didn't hear it at the time, but I think he was on Mr. Busick's and Mr. McKenzie's line.
Okay, I'm not going to let you get to your third. Ryan Donato wears 17. We spent 4 seconds on who'd you think of at 17. I thought of Nevin Marquardt.
Yeah, I thought of Stan Jonathan. Okay. My guess is he was going to say like Fred Stanford.
I did not mean to take calls on that. Sean in Marlboro on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to call and say that I am so excited for opening the day that during the first pitch, I will be watching Felger and Maz. Love you guys.
So you don't feel it, Sean. You don't feel it with the Red Sox.
I have been the. I was the first person years ago that said I didn't feel it. I just. I don't know the ownership. This ownership. I know that they've won a few championships, but I just don't like the feel of the new team and the league as a whole. The league as a whole is just. It's just not watchable, and you know the NFL's getting there, and I don't know. Basketball got there a long time ago with the flopping. It's just hard to watch some of these teams in sports now.
Come on, you got to watch sports, Sean. What else is there? The debate about the Red Sox and the lack of buzz is certainly the word, but they're not really inspiring, are they? Is that the team or is that the sport? You know, we've debated about that a bunch. It's certainly part on the team. And Shaughnessy wrote today, I liked it. He said, it would be impossible to script a more bland opening day.
I saw that. He's right.
Than what they're getting today. Boston's 2018 Old Town team, almost the exact same cast of characters that inspired apathy and some legitimate disdain while winning a second straight division title last year, will open its season today. And basically says they're not inspiring anyone. But opening day is about starting over, so let's get into the spirit. This is a new year. Your Sox are tanned and relaxed, and they really like their 42-year-old manager. The clubhouse culture is great, Murray. Ping pong for everyone. There will be no more it's me, it's them, David Price, Dennis Eckersley, Apple Watch, cheating tomfoolery. The Sox have rid themselves of clueless manager John Farrell and a cast of coaches who, according to ownership, ruined the 2017 season. With a poor approach. The 18 core men are ready to ride launch angle and first pitch swinging all the way to the Fall Classic. But will you embrace them, says Shaughnessy. Will you love them again? Or will you watch the Celtics and Bruins and speculate on the NFL draft and wonder about Malcolm Butler again? Let's see. He says it all starts today in the dumb, dank Trump Dome. What do you think, Maz? What's it going to take?
No, listen, I think he's right. I think that there's a confluence of elements here that this does not feel even remotely like opening day. And you know, I spent a good chunk of my writing life in baseball, and there was always sort of me anticipation about opening day, and I felt a little of it yesterday, but today, almost none. I just don't feel it. So they're in a lousy place to play against a lousy team. There's better stuff going on here at the time. And last year, I didn't like the team very much. And they didn't really change the roster all that much. So, to me, they're going to have to show it. And this is part of the reason I think they need to get off to a good start. But a bad start hurts them more than a good start helps. Does that make sense?
Well, given the competition, they should get off to a good start.
Exactly. But if they play badly, then I think there's a chance they will really disappear for a while.
Here's Steve in Rhode Island. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. On the Celtics last night, I was very impressed. I mean, the guys they have out of our lineup is a starting five on a championship-caliber team. When you think of Kyrie, you think of Morris, you think of Hayward, Marcus Smart, and I believe there's another guy out, but I'm not going to get into that. But that's impressive that they can pull off a road win against a playoff team with a starting five like that injured. And real quick on the Red Sox, I mean, I'm a Boston fan, guys, but I stopped liking the Red Sox when they let Lester walk. They signed Hanley Ramirez, and then I can't do the Red Sox anymore. I'm a fan of Boston, but not the Red Sox. Thanks, guys.
Okay, even though they did that and still won a championship and have won the last two divisions. So there's a disconnect here that's beyond the results. I know there were two last-place finishes mixed in there, but since they let Lester go, they've won a World Series and two divisions. And two other divisions, I should say. I guess they've won three divisions and a World Series, unless they won as a wild card in 13.
Lester was here in 13.
Oh, duh, what am I saying?
Yeah, Lester was here in 13.
What am I saying? All right, well, then fine. They've won two divisions since they let Lester go.
Yeah, but I do think that, you know, there is sort of no question, there's a connectivity issue there. This team, these guys are hard to connect to. And they lost that when Ortiz went, I think. So I don't know how that gets reestablished.
Maybe it is a big Ortiz thing.
It's part of it.
I wonder.
I'm telling you, there was a magnetism to him that drew you there.
you know, whether you liked him or not, and most people here loved him, obviously. But there was a magnetism about Ortiz. These guys, not like, yeah, you described the guys on the PGA Tour. I feel that way about the young Red Sox.
Yeah.
Same. They're all sort of the same. There's no real personality there.
Vince and Quincy on the Celts. Hi, Vince.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Excellent.
So my question is, it's in reference to the draft, the Celtics. Where do you think the draft pick's going to lie, and who do you think they're going to get? Do you think Danny's going to go for a skilled big man, or do you think he's going to go for more of a Jason Tatum type?
Jason Tatum's not going to be at 29 where they're drafting, or 27, or wherever. That Lakers pick is probably not going to convey. There's like a 3% chance of it conveying, so 97% chance it won't, which means you're going to have your pick at the end of the first round. I don't care who you pick. I don't care if you pick Murray with that.
I mean, see, people are totally getting that ass backwards. Like, somehow people think that they're going to get the Lakers or the, you know, the Lakers pick no matter what. If it's not in the top five, you get your own. You're at the end of the first. People keep forgetting that.
Look ahead 2 years to Sacramento if you want to play that draft game. Here's Murray's update. We come back, and we got Celtics winning last night. We got some good rumor mongering from Bedard on the Patriots to get to as well on Red Sox opening day. Right to you after the update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Felger. I like Andy Kukwitukwu. And Mass. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now that that wire has been removed, is his problem essentially fixed?
Well, no, I don't know the answer to that. But I'm saying, when I say like it shouldn't affect his career, I'm just saying like his knee is very structurally sound. It's not like a long-term thing. There could still be some challenges that, you know, we tried to do a minimal amount of surgery at this moment, and it might require some more, but we don't know any of that. I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'll probably have a much better update on how he's doing and when I return. I'm with the team right now, and I'll see him tomorrow.
And who says Kyrie's a lock to come back anyway? Maz, who broke this story, gave it to you originally. He's the first one who told you about Kyrie's problems and what was happening here. Has some updated information. Let's just hear that second Ainge cut first, Jimmy. What was that second piece that we got?
Are you concerned this could affect him for the rest of his career, that this could return?
No. Not concerned at all about that.
Okay, so simply that, Mass. Your thoughts.
So that second answer to me, what was more important about that is the way Ainge answered it. Like, no. I mean, it was pretty emphatic. Like, nope, there's no issue there long term. This is about the here and now. And I think that they're telling the truth there. You know, and the reason why that's important to me is because how many times do you hear a team say, oh, it's structurally sound, as if there's any way we'd be able to disprove it without the MRI or the X-ray, right? But the way he said it to me suggests to me that they're telling the truth. It was very emphatic. Straightforward, no. But the first answer to me was way more important, and that is when you hear it. Like, to me, it's the first time that they have acknowledged this may not fix the problem. You know, he said, yeah, they went in and took the wire out, but, you know, there may be more challenges. We'll see if there's more surgery coming.
So what are you hearing?
So my understanding is they're going to see how this thing goes, and they'll see how he feels, and there's a chance they may have to go back in. There's a chance he may not play again, and that they did choose. They had an option. There was a choice there to do something where they went in and took out just a part of it to try to alleviate the pain he was playing with so that he could come back and play because Kyrie wants to play.
Kyrie's pushing it.
Kyrie wants to play.
This is what I'm talking about, Cleveland in the second round, Murray.
So, you know, this is not a situation where he says, oh, man, you know, let's take the safe road out. The scenarios were all there, one of which was do nothing, one of which is go in, take all the hardware out, in which case you're done. You're not playing for a few months. Or maybe there's a middle ground. They chose the middle ground, and I think they were all in agreement on that because the wire might be the source of the irritation. So they went in, they took the wire out, and now let's see how it goes, and they'll see how he is. If it doesn't get better and he can't play, they'll go in, they'll take the rest of the hardware out, and he is done. And the other thing that I was curious to find out, again, and my understanding is if they are to go in, they have to go in again, and they're going to do it at some point. If he plays, they're still going to have to go in and take the screws out. It will not jeopardize the beginning of next year. So he will be ready for the start of training camp or, you know, just shortly thereafter, won't jeopardize the start of the season. But they chose the more conservative route now. They felt like they had to go in and do something, and they chose a more conservative route. And the hope is that enough pain will subside that he can play. But I don't think there's a guarantee.
I think Ainge essentially told you that in that comment.
Absolutely, and I think Ainge has been, I don't know, feels to me like more on the optimistic side of things with most injuries, and so I think his tone tells you something. So it may be a moot point either way, Murray.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing just sounds so horrible.
Wires and screws wires and all this.
Oh, my God.
Okay, back to your phones. Here's Scott in the car on the Celts. Hi, Scott.
Guys, how are you? I just got two quick points. One, I called in about 4.5, 5 months ago when the season started, and I made a point about the importance of the depth on the Celtics team and around the NBA and having depth, and I kind of got laughed off the phone. And I want to know maybe if you guys are eating your words right now, seeing the importance of having an 8, 9, 10 man deep bench at all.
It helps you win regular season games.
Correct, but there are teams like the Celtics right now, or maybe not the Celtics, that if they didn't have depth, they may fall from the 6th or 7th seed out of the playoffs.
Sure, you know? Fine. Yes, I will grant you that the bench matters in the regular season. No doubt about it, and if it gets you the 2 seed versus the 3, or the 1 versus the 2, and that gets you a game 7 at home, and it helps you advance an extra round, I will grant you that. In the playoffs, it's not nearly as important, Scott.
I do kind of agree with that. My second
point. Okay, so we've come together. That's nice. Go ahead.
You're talking about worrying about the second round matchup with Cleveland. I am shaking in my boots right now looking at the Celtics team and worried if Milwaukee ends up in the 7th seed, the Milwaukee Bucks could very easily win that first round series against a depleted Celtics team. Do you guys agree?
I mean, they'll have the best player, which is something you've got to respect. Best player usually wins. Usually. Unless you have no system and no coach and no team and nothing else. They have no idea how to play the game. And you do. I think it's that's just one rare case where the Bucks would have the best player, but you should still win that series.
See, I think they'll beat Milwaukee. I think they'll beat Miami. I look at the players that they have. And again, remember, Horford and Morris didn't play last night. Those guys are both pros. Like, and Morris, to me, has really stepped up and impressed during this period of time where he's needed to. And again, he wasn't out there last night, but he's fearless, he's tough, he's a vet, like all of that. To me, Morris, Horford, Brown, Tatum, Rozier, it's enough. They should beat Milwaukee.
And I almost feel like he contradicted himself.
And again, don't discount Brad. We can't have Brad shoved up our rectum every other day and then get into the playoffs where coaching is a huge mismatch. And so you have Brad. You should win that series.
Well, that's why the second part of his call didn't make sense. Here he is, like, pumping up the bench, and okay, yeah, guys like Rozier
right,
and some
exactly.
of those other guys have really stepped up, but now you're afraid of the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round because you don't have Kyrie Irving? Like, stop it, please.
No, you're right. You were just talking about the bench, sir. Very good, Murray. Here's Peter and JP. Hi, Pete.
Guys, how you doing? I'm not surprised at all by this, the way the Celtics are playing. People are very underrating the skill level of these people that are on the floor. They're all talented in Semi Ojeleye, okay? Brad Stevens says he's one of the elite defenders in the NBA. Shane Larkin's a pest. They're more talented than people give him credit for. And then one other point, they're going into the next round, and the only difference between their starting lineup, okay, is they got Terry Rozier in place, a starting point guard in place of Kyrie Irving. And 80% of Kyrie Irving, Terry Rozier is better than that, much better defensively.
What?
Everybody that Brad Stevens and
repeat
Danny
that thing.
Have
you think Rozier's
are excellent defenders?
You think Rozier is 80% of Irving?
I think personally, I think he's a better player, but he's definitely a better defensive player. What he's shown on offense is unbelievable.
Well, let me just stop you there. Rozier is a better player. He thinks Rozier is a better player than Kyrie.
Oh, God, please. That's not even worth dignifying.
Never mind 80%.
No, he's not. That's not worth dignifying, let alone the idea that he's better than Irving altogether.
Irving's twice the player.
Oh, at least. Maybe 5 times the player, for crying out loud, in that league.
That's a little.
Do you understand why I broke out the whiteboard now last year?
Okay, so but,
them as the Bridgies, because it's guys like that. You make it so damn difficult.
But you know what? They're doing the same thing with this team, Murray.
I know, and
they're doing the
be.
Same thing.
Stop.
I had to hear the same crap that I hear now about Larkin and Ojeleye and Tice, the kid with the T-shirt, whatever. I had to hear the same crap I did, about not many teams have a guy like Jonas Jerebko coming off the bench. And this Jay Crowder, it's the most valuable piece in the league. Teams are dying for a guy like Jay. You know how much of that we had to hear? Over they're now doing the exact same thing with this bench. You understand that?
Oh, yeah.
What is that? What is that condition where you now have this wonderful superstar who's hurt? Okay, that's an issue. But you have this, you have an elite, and you want to call and talk to me about Semi Ojeleye. Like, what is that psychology?
Delusion. It's delusion. Like, I'll tell you what, you can give me, if you wanted to give me Larkin and say there's a little bit of value there because offensively he's not bad.
If he's your third point guard, fine, you're in good shape.
Exactly.
But he's your third point guard. You think that's going to matter one difference to you when it really matters in the postseason?
No, he won't. If everybody's healthy, he doesn't smell the floor. He plays now because he's the backup to Rozier. And again, decent shooter, pretty good shooter, actually, right?
No, if he's your third guy, you've got a good third point guard.
Yeah, but
what does that mean in the NBA?
I almost look at him as being like Isaiah Light.
This isn't,
right?
This isn't the NHL where your third center plays 17 minutes a night.
No, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But you should be able to beat a bad team with Larkin as your second guy. And in the NBA, again, once you get to the 8th seed, 7th seed, those teams are extremely mediocre. If you have a good coach and a few good guys as at leadership and you're starting five, and the Celtics do, you should be able to beat those teams.
Maz and I come to you from the Star Market broadcast studio at the TD Garden, where there's going to be an event coming up tomorrow night that I will give you free tickets for. Free tickets are yours if you just stick to your radio and we continue with your phone call, so don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Giles home with another 3-2. That's hard hit to second. The Astros are moving on to the American League Championship Series. They come from behind to win it in four games, scoring two in the eighth and one in the ninth.
Hey, Mike. Hey, I just don't get the negativity surrounding this team. I mean, can we start the season before we get down on them? I mean, I wanted Stanton as much as anyone, but you got J.D. Martinez. And the more I read about this guy, the way he works on his swing, the time he puts in. I mean, look at the lineup. Bogaerts, Benintendi, Martinez, Hanley, Bogaerts. I mean, if this guy hits 35-40 homers this year, they're going to love him in this town.
If J.D. Martinez hits 35 home runs and they lose in the first round, are they going to love him in this town?
Yeah, they might like him, but they'll still be in the same spot they are with the team. So, to me, he's a key guy, obviously. He's the biggest change in the lineup. So, we'll see. And look, I'm willing to say, fine, of course, every year you start new. No question about it. But they have something to prove to us collectively. They need to show us that they can get to that next level. And I'm not sitting here telling you it's World Series or bust.
Well, so, I mean, is it one of these things that they're not going to have any sort of pulse until we get to the postseason and they prove, to people that they're a different team?
Unless there is something that happens early in the year that makes you open your eyes and go, whoa, what do we got here? Like, what if they get out, and I'm just, I'm throwing crap against the wall. What if they were to start 20-5 and they're bashing the ball all over the place? Like, all of a sudden you go, wait a minute, maybe they are better than we thought. The reality is that they've won 93 games the last 2 years, and I don't think they've maxed out. I think there's more there. I think they are capable of more, and that's why I get irritated with them. It's not because, I think they're horrible people or anything of the like. They're capable of more. They're capable of more. What are we just going to accept 93 wins in a division title, and that's good enough? That's it? So, yes, they're a good team. I don't care if they're good. I want to see if they can be great. I'm interested in great. I'm not interested in good.
Let's get to some Celtics calls here. Zach in Alston. Hi, Zach.
How's it going? Who do you think's more valuable in the playoffs, Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown? I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, more valuable? I still think Tatum has a higher ceiling.
You mean Brown?
I'm sorry. Jaylen Brown has a higher ceiling. Tatum's going to be more valuable because he's more ready to contribute on. His offensive game is more polished right now, and he's going to be. Who's their third score? Who's their third score? Who's their second score?
I was just going to say that who was their second?
Their second score?
To me, the more reliable guy is Tatum in terms of scoring.
Yes. Who's their second score?
Between those two?
Anyone?
Now, without Kyrie, probably Rozier?
No. Fully loaded, who's their second score?
Oh, no, it's Tatum.
Tatum. And the reality is it could be either one, because that's what it was early in the year, right? One night, one of them would score 18, the other would score 12.
So I'm telling you, that's a problem even when you're fully healthy.
Of course.
Yeah, it is. And this is why I worry about them still against Cleveland in the postseason, that I think those young guys, if they both vanish on the same night, and they can, you're in trouble. So you need 30 points combined out of those two guys. That's what you, and I'm just trying to put a number on it. You know, if it's 28, is anyone going to bitch? But that roughly is what they need. They need somebody, you know, to step up behind Kyrie, and I view those two as one player in terms of production. If they can get 30 combined out of those two guys, they're in good shape.
617-779-0985. Our buddy Dave is in Wellesley. Hi, David.
Those two Celtics calls before you went to the break have brought me a physical pain in my lower abdomen. JP, the guy who called in JP calling Terry Rozier 80% of Kyrie Irving, maybe the dumbest call in the history of Felger.
He said he was better, actually, at the end of the call.
Right, yeah, that's right. So those are the Celtics fans that are caught in this mediocre, delusional loserville where it's the little engine that could, and Kelly Olynyk and Daniel Tice and fat Jared Soldier. It's disgusting. I want to be the elite at Celtics with the superstars and the bad boys.
Right.
So those callers need to go. Michael, why I called you guys, I think it was yesterday, you were going, your little pushback on Trader Danny in terms of, I remember two things, the broken, you know, you guys called them damaged goods for Isaiah, for Kyrie. Wouldn't you say a hurt Kyrie's better than Kyrie's better than a healthy Thomas?
Yes. So look, then, I mean, so people are misinterpreting this. I'm not saying I wouldn't have done the trade. I'd still right. do the trade. So, I mean, I guess I can call it a good trade. But, I mean, just let me tell you, it seems like a great trade. All I'm saying is, Dave, let's be honest. If Kyrie Irving doesn't get healthy, if this thing dogs him his entire career here, and or Tatum, I'm sorry, Lonzo Ball or Fultz turn out to be better than Jason Tatum, aren't you going to look at that trade differently?
Well, this is my second point. So you said you were questioning the Tatum pick, but then you followed it up and said, well, Fultz and Lonzo Ball can't shoot.
I'm not questioning. Look, all I'm saying is before you give a final analysis of a trade, you have to see what the pieces become. And I'll be wrong, too, because I would take Tatum over those other players. I would make that trade. I would trade for Kyrie. So I'll be wrong along with everybody else. All I'm telling you is if Kyrie doesn't get right health-wise and one of those kids turns out to be a better player than Jason Tatum, you're going to look at that trade differently, and rightfully so. That is the most mundane take I could possibly come up with.
That's the old Shaughnessy. If this didn't happen and this didn't happen, that wouldn't happen. That's the line of thinking.
I don't think that's what I'm doing. All I'm saying is you have to wait to see what those players become before you say you drafted the right guy.
I told you yesterday, I can't believe people are putting up a fight on this. I don't understand what the issue is. Based on how it turns out, that's not going to affect our perception of the deal.
I would still make the trade. And even if those things turn out different at the end, I would go back and say, I still would have made that trade because this is what it looked like at the time. But it turned out to not work out the way we thought. It turned out to not be as good of a trade as we thought. Can you handle that take? Is that a take that's impossible to handle?
I think the Celtics would tell you that the day Kyrie Irving was having surgery to take that wire out, that they still would do the deal.
Of course.
Like, to me, I don't think it... You
as
know,
would all of us. But if it turns out that Kyrie can't get right, then,
of course.
You, then you can say you traded for someone who was a big injury risk, and that came back to bite you, and you look at the trade differently.
Yes, particularly because the Celtics, I think, knew that at the time.
Everyone did.
Yeah, there was no secret about Kyrie's knee injury in 2015 and what was required to get him back on the floor. The Celtics knew all of that, so they knew there was risk involved in the deal. And if it turns out that the risk blows up in their face, how does it not affect your perception of the deal?
And there were two guys who were consensus higher picks than the guy you took. Looks like Danny outsmarted everybody. God bless him. But we all knew Tatum would be more NBA ready in year one versus those other two. We're going to find out in years 3, 4, and 5 what they become.
People are weird.
It's just, it's really, of all my flamethrower takes, that is so way down on the list to say, let's just see what they become before we give the final grade. Like, well, how is that? John in Westfield. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. What do you got? And by the way, folks, wrestling tickets are still coming your way here in a few minutes. Go ahead, John.
Perfect. So I actually have 2 points, one regarding your very first take. I think if you want to avoid Cleveland in the second round, I think that's actually a bad idea. Think about it like this. That doesn't give anyone confidence. You know, imagine Brad Stevens going to the huddle or going to the locker room and saying, you know, we're probably going to lose in the second round if we play Cleveland. So, you know, let's either win or lose to affect that. That gives us no confidence going into the playoffs.
Right. No one says it, John. No one says it.
Okay, and second point about Jaylen Brown. I actually think that he is going to be more important than Jason Tatum, and I think he's actually going to show it in the playoffs. If you remember last season, during the playoffs, he took a huge step. I mean, he wasn't scoring that much, but his defending was elite. And, you know, he just drafted.
Yes, defensively. Defensively. Second round, you got LeBron. Who's got LeBron?
Either Morris or
so Morris has great numbers against LeBron historically, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, depending on who's on the floor. So, but it's Jaylen. Yeah. I mean, I still...
Rebounding, defending, the whole thing. I mean...
Sure.
Brown brings a little more to the table. His scoring isn't what Tatum's is, but he's bigger in those other areas.
Yeah, I would say Brown's better on the defensive end of the floor. Yep. Tatum feels like he processes the game better to me than Brown does. You know, Brown's more athletic, and I even mean that on the defensive end. Like, the one thing, someone said to me today, a fan said to me today, and it's not something I pay attention to, but it's worth watching, that, you know, watch Brown in rotations and things like that, and he doesn't always get things right. If someone's wide open, that Brown's often the guy who's not in the right place. And again, but athletically, superior defender.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.